The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
The Nicole Sandler Show. Questioning authority daily. And that could be the very reason why YouTube is upset. Hey, YouTube. The music bed you hear beneath my voice is from a broadcast sound library that I pay for and have the receipts. So I've got your copyright violation right here. And now, here's Nicole.
All right. Hello, and happy Wednesday. Welcome, listeners, viewers, and social distancers everywhere. I'm Nicole Sandler, coming to you live at, 3 o'clock Eastern on the East Coast, noon on the West Coast, and by tape delay, if you're listening on the Progressive Voices Network, at 5 or 2, or any other time by the magic of podcast or digital audio or video, or, you know, there are so many ways to listen now. So however you choose to listen, I welcome you and thank you for choosing to spend your time with us. And I know we all have a lot of spare time on our hands these days. And I guess that's better than the alternative, right? There's a meme floating around the interwebs that says something like, our parents or grandparents were called to serve in World War II, and you're just asked to sit on your couch. We can do that. It's, you know, a little more complicated than that, but we can. Look, as I posted, I'm sorry. For those of you who listen regularly, I'm sorry if you get tired of this message, but, you know, other than trying to save the world, it's the other thing that I'm passionate about. And I am being responsible. I'm hunkering down here at home. Now, it's not that big of a switch for me. I work from home. I have a home studio. I have done my show from my home studio for a good 15 years already. When I was on Air America Radio for its last year of operation, I did the show from my home in South Florida. Even though the studios were in New York, I used what was called an ISDN line, something that barely exists anymore, but such as it was 10 years ago. Yeah, Air America is 10 years gone now. And since then, I've been online. So I've worked from my home for all these years. So it's nothing new for me. But a lot of people are now working from home. And I've invited you all to join us. Take a little break from the day. You know, you don't have anybody looking over your shoulder, figuratively speaking, anyway. Hopefully you're joining us. Welcome. Welcome. Bienvenue. However you joined us, I'm glad you found us. You know, I said this the other day, and I said it a couple of days ago, too, and I'll keep saying it thanks to the urging of at least one listener, Richard in Maryland. This, I want you to think of it as a group therapy session. Now, I'm still trying to move the live show to 5 p.m. Eastern, which is when we air on the Progressive Voices Network. It's sort of the outlet where I have the largest audience. I guess our sync is off. I don't know why. Sorry, YouTubers. I'm going to have to deal with this off the air. Nothing I can do about it right now. Maybe just look away from the screen when I'm talking. It was working fine until now. From what I can see, it's in sync. Not the boy band. You know what I'm saying. Anyway, I apologize for the out of syncness. That's the least of my worries at the moment, to be honest with you. Lost my train of thought there for a second. So anyway, I completely lost my train of thought. Anyway, I know what I was saying. So I don't leave my house. I rarely do anyway. I'm not going to yoga class. I'm not going to this treatment that I was going to for something unrelated to the coronavirus. The only outside activity that I still do is my volunteering at the county animal shelter, and I will do it for as long as they will let me go, because frankly, I'm really worried about all these dogs. I'm worried about the cats too, but I'm really allergic to cats, so I don't work with the cats. So that's the reason I only work with the dogs. So sorry, cat people, I can't. I'm allergic to dogs too, but not nearly to the extent that I'm allergic to cats. So adopt cats if you like cats, but I work with the dogs. So my fear is that they're going to shut down the county animal shelter. And I'm talking about Broward County, Florida, which is where I live. But this goes for wherever you live, too. There are animal shelters run by the county and some private as well. The Humane Society, ASPCA, local rescue groups, whatever, who care for these animals. Now, what I worry about with the county shelter, it is not a no-kill shelter. They say they are working towards being a no-kill shelter, but they're very far from that goal, sadly. And I really am concerned that should the county shut the shelter, as they did when we thought the hurricane was coming last year, and we got lucky, we didn't get hit, but the animals get neglected. And in the event that the shelters are closed for a longer time, I don't even want to think about the neglect and what more could happen to them. You get my drift. I'm not going to say it because I'll start crying. I don't want that to happen. And so I'm begging you, this is a great time. If you're going to be home, our schools are closed. They're saying for 2 weeks. In some school districts around the country, they're already saying schools are closed for the rest of the year. Some people are saying, 6 to 8 weeks, 2 months. It's already March, April, May, June. Schools are closed. Kids are going to be home anyway. You're going to be home. This is a great time to bond with an animal, especially a shelter dog who needs a little bit of extra patience. This is a great time to adopt an animal. And if you're afraid of going to a shelter because of the social distancing issue, call ahead. Ask if you can make an appointment either with a staffer or a volunteer who can take you around. So you'll just be with one person who can show you a few dogs that they know. Because I promise you, the volunteers and the staffers know the animals. If you tell them what you're looking for, they can show you a handful of dogs. And it doesn't have to be an all-day affair. You can meet the dog, you can fall in love with the dog, and either you can take the dog home with you that day, or you can do the paperwork, and the dog can go in and get the necessary shots, and spaying or neutering or whatever they need, and you pick it up the next day. If you're not ready to make the commitment, you can foster a dog or a cat. Take them home. Do a trial run. We love foster fails. It happens more often than you'd think, where the people take the dog home with the intention of taking the dog out and, getting them adopted, and they fall in love and wind up adopting them anyway. Just getting the animal out of the shelter during this time of emergency is a big deal. So I beg of you, if you're in South Florida, here's the offer that I'm making. Email me. Nicole@NicoleSandler.com or tweet me. I'm at Nicole Sandler. Find me on Facebook. N Sandler is my Facebook account. I will meet you there at the shelter. It's in Fort Lauderdale, right by the airport. I'll meet you there on a weekend, or I'll meet you there any morning. They're just closed on Mondays. And I will find you. I will help you find the perfect dog. While they're still open, it's my goal to get them out of there. So please, 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 foster, adopt, whatever. Help me save these animals. Okay? That's my plea for you. Okay, so here we go. Again, if you're in South Florida, please call me. I want to help you. Help me help them. Help you help them. Help me help you. Got it? All right. So, I like to try to start the show with, I started the show with that big rant. Let's move on with something humorous. You might remember a few weeks ago, I played for you a song, a video that I said wasn't actually funny, but it was so well done. I got goosebumps. It was from the Founding Fathers. Remember? They did a spoof of American Pie, the Don McLean song. Well, they have another one out. And it's, I'm drawing a blank. I can't think of this song that they're, doing a takeoff on. It'll be apparent in a moment because I didn't listen to it today. I found it yesterday. But it is the same. Founding Fathers sing. And this one's called Die, Die, Coronavirus. And it's not, it is the Founding Fathers sing, but it's not any of the Founding Fathers singing it. For those of you who don't have the video component, the character singing is actually Dr. Fauci, you know, the infectious disease specialist. So just picture him in your mind as the lead singer here. Enjoy.
The streets are all empty outside of my window. I'm surrounded by toilet paper that was so hard to find. Spreading. I gotta make sure I'm not touching the knob on my door. Damn social distance. I keep running out of Purell. I sure hope they make more.
Founders Sing is the name they go by. Their YouTube channel is youtube.com/Founders Sing. It's the same group of very creative people who did that spoof of American Pie with the Founding Fathers singing it. That, of course, was Dr. Anthony Fauci doing the singing, in case you didn't, you don't have the YouTube component going. I will post that video on the blog at NicoleSandler.com along with the podcast of today's show, so you can see the video of it, because it adds a great component. Yes, we need to laugh, even though we are in the midst of insanity, and it just makes no sense at all. It's just crazy. So coming up on today's show, I actually have a guest coming up for a book. You might recall a guest we've had on the show a couple of times named David Daly. He used to be the editor-in-chief of Salon.com. His last book, it was Tom Jones' Delilah. I couldn't think of the name of the song. My Delilah. Da-da-da-da. It's for us old farts. Anyway, good cover there. So David Daly, his first book was called Rat Fucked. It was all about gerrymandering. It was really, really why your vote didn't count. And his new book was just released yesterday. Talk about bad timing. Anyway, his new book is called Unrigged, How Americans Are Battling Back to Save Democracy. I guess my first question for him is going to be, can we? Is it possible? So we'll get to David Daly in a few minutes. We've got the news. You know what? Let's do the news now, and then I'll share some other stuff with you if time permits. Since I, again, with this rapidly changing news cycle, everything's changing. So we'll do it live. Damn it. We'll do it live.
I read the news today. Oh, boy.
Well, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has erased all of the gains of the Trump presidency. I'm sorry to laugh, but, you know, when you got nothing to lose. It's actually gone up a little bit. The Dow is now at 19,522.43. It is down. It had been down more than 2,000 points today. It's now up, only down 1,714.95. Just by point of reference, when Obama took office, January 20th, 2009, the Dow was at 79.49. That's right, under 8,000. When Trump took office, January 20th, 2017, the Dow was at 19,827. 19,827. And at this moment, right now, March 18th, 2020, at 3:17 p.m., it's 19,522. Yes. The Dow is below where it was when Donald Trump took office. Just thought you'd want to know. By the way, the Department of Housing and Urban Development announced they're suspending all foreclosures and evictions through the end of April. U.S. naval ships Comfort and Mercy, they're both 1,000-bed hospital ships, will soon be deployed to New York and somewhere on the West Coast. Although the one that's going to New York, we learned it's going to be at least like a number of weeks before it gets there, as it's in dock in Virginia for maintenance or whatever. Regarding the coronavirus, the U.S. death toll surpassed 1,000 on Tuesday, and over 6,000 cases have now been confirmed. All 50 states have now reported cases. And globally, the number of confirmed cases has now surpassed 200,000, and the number of deaths has topped 8,000. But there's a point that I need to make here that, may make you go, well, no, duh. And here's the thing, with some people still going, you know, you're overreacting, it's no big deal. Here's the thing, if we all do what we need to do, and shelter in place and keep our social distancing and do what's necessary to flatten the curve, to keep from overloading the hospitals, to keep from a run on, you know, overloading the system, the goal is to keep the number of cases down. We won't have a run on the hospitals. Things will be under control, and therefore the catastrophe that we're guarding against won't happen. And so people might think, well, we did this all for nothing. No, it won't be for nothing. We will have succeeded. But it's hard to take credit for something that doesn't happen. You get what I'm saying? So just remember, the goal is to fend off the oncoming disaster. If we don't have a disaster, we've succeeded, but it's like, you know, taking credit for a negative. It's hard to prove an intangible when something doesn't happen. So, but keep in mind, that's the desired outcome. All right. The leaders of 26 nations in the European Union voted yesterday to temporarily close their borders to people from countries outside the EU to help slow the spread of the coronavirus. The travel ban marked the first joint response to the pandemic in the EU. The measure also prohibits sending medical supplies to other countries. The ban, which Britain didn't plan to join, will remain in place for at least 30 days. EU leaders said they would continue the free circulation of goods within the zone. European citizens and residents returning home will be allowed in. Medical professionals and scientists also will be exempt. France and Spain also announced massive relief packages to soften the economic damage of the crisis. To combat the economic devastation that the coronavirus is leaving in its wake, the White House announced that it is looking to send checks directly to Americans. The announcement comes as many parts of the U.S. have taken extraordinary measures to safeguard the spread of the coronavirus. California officials announced a complete lockdown of the Bay Area, including San Francisco, that requires people to stay home except for essential needs, a measure that New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says he's also considering. Now, I've been dreading this, but yesterday was another devastating day at the polls for Bernie Sanders in Florida, Arizona, and Illinois, where in-person turnout was low, but early voting here in Florida and in Arizona pushed Biden to clear victories. In Ohio, polls were ordered closed as a public health measure after a judge declined the governor's request to postpone the election. Now, just this morning, Bernie Sanders' campaign manager, Faz Shakir, released a statement saying that the senator is going to be having conversations with supporters to, quote, assess his campaign. Noting that the next primary is at least 3 weeks away, he said, quote, in the immediate term, Bernie is focused on the government response to the coronavirus outbreak and ensuring that we take care of working people and the most vulnerable. Now, just like an hour or so ago, I noticed Axios incorrectly ran a story with a headline saying that Bernie Sanders had suspended his campaign. Then they corrected it to report that the Sanders campaign had suspended all of its Facebook ads, something that both the Bloomberg and Buttigieg campaigns did just hours before suspending their campaigns. So we don't know. We'll find out. Yeah, I've got a few things to say about it, and I'm dreading it. But well, now no. John Jacob in the chat room says exit polls belie Biden's wins. There were no exit polls conducted last night because that would take in-person interviews of people leaving the polling places, and nobody did exit polls last night. So the exit polls from last week belied the results. They did not match up. They didn't jive. But there were none done last night. One piece of very good news emerged from Illinois last night, from Illinois' third district, where challenger Marie Newman beat eight-term incumbent Dan Lipinski, who, although he has a D next to his name, showing you that not any blue will do, Dan Lipinski, who enjoyed the full support of the DCCC and was known for his staunch opposition to abortion rights and his votes against the Affordable Care Act and same-sex marriage, Dan Lipinski was defeated by Marie Newman. Yes! 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 Sorry, I watched When Harry Met Sally a little while ago with my kid. Oh, got carried away there. So all that happened. Oh, by the way, China announced retaliatory measures against several U.S. media outlets yesterday following America's recent decision to designate five Chinese state media outlets as foreign mission outlets and cap the number of Chinese journalists working for those outlets on U.S. soil. So U.S. national journalists for The New York Times, Wall Street Journal and Washington Post were banned from reporting in the People's Republic of China, including in Hong Kong and Macau, which is typically where journalists blocked by Beijing would go to continue their work. This is not good. Not good at all. Couple more things, or two more things. If you were stressing about getting your taxes done by April 15th, you can breathe a small sigh of relief. The deadline has been delayed by 90 days, thanks to the coronavirus. So, whew. And one last thing. The U.S. Surgeon General is calling on healthy Americans to donate blood. The Red Cross is facing a severe shortage due to blood drive cancellations in response to the coronavirus. So if you can, call your local blood bank and find out where to go to give blood. But give blood if you can. All right. And don't forget about the animal shelters. Okay. All right. All right. So we still got about four minutes before I need to call David Daly. So let me just play for you this. Yesterday, I didn't hear it when it happened, but I saw, read about it on Twitter almost immediately after. I've been watching more CNN lately because I can't deal with MSNBC during the day because they're just so horrible. Well, you know, not so much during the coronavirus stuff. Now I can't watch any of it, frankly, but they've been so horribly anti-Bernie. So I really turned them off. And apparently yesterday, Dana Bash started gushing over Donald Trump. So I went back and I found the clip. Wow, here's what happened.
I mean, look, this is just coming back to where this conversation started after the press conference. I hear what Sanjay is saying about Tony Fauci giving, you know, a little bit more wiggle room than others. But if you look at the big picture, this was remarkable from the president of the United States.
What
this
was remarkable?
This is a nonpartisan. This is an important thing to note and to applaud from an American standpoint, from a human standpoint. He is... being the kind of leader that people need, at least in tone, today and yesterday, in tone that people need and want and yearn for in times of crisis.
What the fuck is she talking about?
So we've been talking about a lot of the specifics that they brought up today, whether it's construction companies.
Okay, I'm sorry. That she was talking about Donald Trump? Seriously? Yesterday, I mentioned, I read to you a timeline when Laffy was on, a timeline of the statements that Donald Trump has made starting January 22nd when he said, oh, we got it all under control. Really? The guy who made this disaster exponentially worse every time he opened his fucking big fat mouth? She dare say this is what we need? So I talked about going through to try to find all those sound clips and giving up because I couldn't stomach the sound of his voice. Well, someone else did it for me.
We have it totally under control. It's one person coming in from China.
We think we have it very well under control.
We pretty much shut it down coming in from China.
You know, in April, supposedly, it dies with the hotter weather.
When it gets warm, historically, that has been able to kill the virus.
The people are getting better. They're all getting better.
And the 15 within a couple of days is going to be down to close to zero.
It's going to disappear. One day, it's like a miracle. It will disappear.
And you'll be fine.
They're going to have vaccines, I think, relatively soon.
Not only the vaccines, but the therapies. Therapies is sort of another word for cure.
You're talking about very small numbers in the United States.
Our numbers are lower than just about anybody.
It's really working out. And a lot of good things are going to happen.
And we are responding with great speed and professionalism.
It's going to go away.
Yeah, no, I don't take responsibility at all.
We're going to all be great. We're going to be so good. This came up. We came up so suddenly.
This is a pandemic. I felt it was a pandemic long before it was called a pandemic. All you had to do is look at other countries.
The coronavirus. You know that, right? Coronavirus. And this is their new hoax. We're 15 people in this massive country. And because of the fact that we went early, we could have had a lot more than that. We're doing great. Our country is doing so great.
He is a sickening, disgusting, shameless man who has been not only irresponsible, but negligent in his responsibility as president. He has made a bad situation so much worse. And Dana Bash should be ashamed of herself for normalizing this piece of shit. Okay, I said it and I'm proud. And I will post the video of that on my blog as well. Sorry, I screwed it up at the beginning there, playing it on YouTube. Still getting the hang of the new setup here, and I think I don't have it set up exactly right. Anyway, all right, let's get our guest on the line, shall we? So here's the deal. Talk about bad, bad timing, in an age when timing is everything. David Daley is, well, the author of the book Rat Fucked, Why Your Vote Doesn't Count, who has been on this program before. I mean, that's the book about the thing that is gerrymandering, I'm searching for a word, David Daley.
The rat fucking. I love that I can say that on your show.
You can. And congratulations for having a book whose title you can say actually on the air anywhere without worrying.
We were going to call it Unrat Fucked, and then I decided, I wanted to tell my mom about this book.
that's a good idea. And you could actually go on television and say the title of the book, too, so that's a good thing as well.
Yeah, I didn't realize that we'd be, socially isolated, and I wouldn't be able to, see my mom for, 18 months. So maybe I should have just called it Unrat Fucked.
Unrat Fucked. Or Unrigged for short. Anyway, that's the name of the book. Congratulations on the publication, even though your timing is kind of rat fucked. Wow. So I have to start off with an apology, Dave. Usually, at least I try to read at least a good portion of a book before I have an author on. With the way the news has been going for the past couple of weeks, I honestly have just not gotten to it. I skimmed through it. I read the literature that came with it. I plan on reading the book because I love your writing style, and you're great. And every time you write something, it's worth reading. But I want to be honest with you, and I have not gotten to it yet. But that's okay, because I still have a million questions to ask you about it. But I wanted to let you know up front that I'm not going to be asking you specific questions about the book, because I haven't been able to get to it yet. Because
we're all going to have a lot of time indoors.
Yes, we are. So, this is a good time to pick up a new book. And Unrigged, How Americans Are Battling Back to Save Democracy, is a good one to start with, because we're going to have a lot of time on our hands. So let me start with this, Dave Daley. Are we going to be able to save democracy, especially given the events of the last couple of weeks and what's coming up in front of us?
This is an unprecedented moment. I did not want to write another book about how democracies die.
Uh-huh.
I had already written that book. When I went out and talked about it, I often found that I had this black rain cloud over my head, and I could kind of suck the air out of the room. And I realized that was profoundly unhelpful, and started looking for signs of life in our democracy. And when you look around, you found them. There were citizens who were leading these important grassroots movements, who sort of got up off the couch and turned off cable news and logged off of Twitter after Donald Trump. It took the White House on November 8th, 2016, and kind of got to work on these big structural systemic problems. And I think we as Americans, a lot of us had sort of taken our eyes off of those big structural things. And it allowed Republicans to run away with state legislatures because, too many Democrats didn't vote in off years or in local races, and Republicans kind of had this plan, and it worked really, really well. And Democrats, kind of progressives, had to sort of get up off the mat, and I think that is underway. And you can't look around the country after what happened in 2018, what continued into 2019. You can't look at the expansion of Medicaid in Idaho, of all places, via the ballot initiative, and not feel like something is happening out there. You can't look at the anti-gerrymandering initiatives that won in Missouri, Colorado, Utah, Ohio, and Michigan, and not say, something's going on out there. Those aren't all blue states. Those are some bright red states where people get this. Mm-hmm. You can't look at Florida and felon reenfranchisement. And I know that there's been, pushback there. But you can't look at the victory. 64% of state, a state that's become pretty reliably red, voting to restore full voting rights to the formerly incarcerated.
Right.
And not feel as if the citizens of this country were stepping up and making a big statement on behalf of fairness.
Right. I got you. But let me interrupt you here for just a moment and play devil's advocate for a second, because I live here in Florida, where we did overwhelmingly pass Amendment 4 to give felons who've paid their debts to society, who served their term, their right to vote back. Until the state legislature said, well, they need to also pay any outstanding fees and debts and court costs and everything else. So basically a poll tax if they want to be able to vote.
Right.
And so here we had a year where Michael Bloomberg spent $500 million to participate in the primaries in 14 states, let's just say. And that's money thrown out the window, where he could have paid off those debts for however many disenfranchised former felons there were in Florida and given those people their right to vote back, even though as warped a concept as that is. And he still would have been ahead of the game. And neither one of those happened. So I don't know where it stood, if those people were allowed to vote yesterday or not. I think they weren't, because I don't think that's been settled yet. And the governor of the state of Florida is fighting what we, the people of Florida, lawfully voted for.
You're exactly right. And I think you're right about all of that. I think if Michael Bloomberg and Tom Steyer had put their hundreds of millions of dollars into voting rights, democracy reform, and down ballot state legislative elections, instead of what, turning it all over to Mark Zuckerberg for a bunch of Facebook ads, our country would be in better shape. Two, I think it is horrifying and anti-majoritarian that a gerrymandered legislature in Florida and the governor would add a poll tax on behalf of something that 64% of the state wanted. But let me say this. The history of voting rights and democracy in this country is not a straight line. It zigs and it zags. And if it was a straight line, we would have settled all of this with the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments to the Constitution back in the 1870s. If we could have settled this in a straight line, the Voting Rights Act would have taken care of all this in 1965.
Right.
It's not a straight line. So what we have to have is an engaged fight on behalf of voting rights and democracy at all times. I mean, Dr. King talked about the moral arc of the universe being long, but bending toward justice.
Right.
And I think what we have learned is that it doesn't bend by itself, and that there's a lot of people out there who've got their hands on that arc and who are trying to pull it in a direction of deep unfairness and minority rule. And that if we want to create the kind of country we want to live in, all of us on this side have also got to have our hands on that arc and be pulling it in the direction we want it to go.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there are more people pulling now than there were before. I don't know if it's going to be enough. We are heading into a fall election now with this virus that is deeply problematic, and we are going to have to be really careful that a public health crisis doesn't turn into a constitutional crisis.
Well,
and I fear that there are forces in our democracy that may be just fine with it going in that direction.
Yes. And so here's a big conundrum that we face. We had an election yesterday, primary in my state. I voted early. I vote absentee, even though I'm here, because you get to vote by mail. We fill in our ballot a couple of weeks ahead of time. We actually hand deliver it to the supervisor of elections office in Broward County, make sure it is taken by hand so we know it gets there. Our vote is safe. We don't have to deal with lines on election day or any of that stuff. That said, many people wait till election day and stand in long lines. They still had that happen yesterday, although turnout was lower than usual. In Ohio, the governor tried to get a court to delay it. The court said no. he had his health director declare an emergency, and they did delay it till sometime in June or July. Two questions here. One, should elections be going on right now? And two, should we ever delay an election, or does this give Donald Trump impetus and a track record to refer back to perhaps cancel an election because of a national emergency?
It's a really dangerous moment, and we have to be really, really careful.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it makes it so dangerous that the Republican Party over the course of this last decade has done so much to politicize these questions of voting rights and, mm-hmm. you know, quote unquote, voter fraud commissions and voter ID and all of the toxic gerrymandering. Listen, I think that when you see these long lines at polling places, it gives me the same creepy feeling that it does when I'm looking at those pictures of airports
mm-hmm.
after Trump announced his
travel bans.
And you just say that is a petri dish.
Yep.
And we're going to spread this virus further. People should not have to risk their health in order to express their constitutional right to vote. We need to make it easier to vote. We need to expand vote by mail. We need to do so in a smart and thoughtful way that remembers that not everybody has equal access to a mailbox, that keeps in mind that, you know, printed ballots need to be translated into languages mm-hmm. for everybody to be aware of. We ought to provide postage, that oftentimes vote by mail ballots are thrown out at a higher rate than others because of a failure to have a signature match.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things we have to do to make sure that vote by mail works. We have 8 months to do this. This is not going to be easy, but it's really, really important. I mean, Donald Trump cannot cancel an election on his own.
No.
Election day is set by statute by Congress,
uh-huh.
so the Republicans cannot simply cancel election day. But here's what could happen, and this is kind of the nightmare scenario that I fear, is that we wait so long to enact electoral safeguards that this virus continues into the fall. States say that it's simply not going to be safe to have voting. They have not moved quickly enough to get a vote by mail system up and running. And so we look at Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution, which gives state legislatures the right to allocate electoral votes as they choose.
Mm-hmm.
So you could see states like Florida, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Ohio, North Carolina, Wisconsin, all of these swing states that Republicans gerrymandered in 2011 could decide to allocate their electoral college votes pretty much as they choose.
Really?
Entirely legally. Under the Constitution.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That's the nightmare scenario if we don't figure this out now.
Wow. You know, there was a thread on, let me see if I can't find it. I did pull it. I thought, oh, here it is. Okay. Ian Millhiser on Twitter was talking about if Trump and the Republicans tried to delay the election, people were saying, well, then good. Then Nancy Pelosi would wind up being president. And he said, actually not. It would wind up being Patrick Leahy, who's the president pro tem of the Senate. Do you get how that works?
I have a lot of respect for Ian's reporting, but I think he's missing this key step along the way. It's certainly correct that the president pro tem of the Senate would be fourth in line, and that Speaker Pelosi, if there's not an election in 2018, Speaker Pelosi, I'm sorry, 2020, right. Speaker Pelosi would also not be reelected, right? I think that's the argument, is that the House would not be reelected, so that there wouldn't be a speaker, so the line of succession would skip to the president pro tem of the Senate.
Right.
What I think Ian is looking past is that the Electoral College meets in December. It wouldn't get to the point that the president pro tem would be sworn in, because state legislatures could simply designate electors.
Oh, that's interesting.
And we would have a president appointed prior to January of 2021.
Oh, that's frightening. That's really frightening. So what can we do to prevent that from happening?
We need to be talking about all of this.
Well,
right?
We are.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm glad that that's what we're doing. But we need to understand that there is an urgency behind fixing this process right now, and that it's not going to be fast. It's not going to be easy. There's not much we could do to stop it, you know? And I mean, the truth of the matter is the Constitution gives these states this power anyway. It could have happened in any one of these other years as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's simply, we've never had a moment quite like this. We've never had a party that has been so willing to ignore and trample constitutional norms. And it's simply sort of been a given, right, that states are going to send the electors that the public gives the popular vote to. But it doesn't have to work that way. And if you go back and look at Bush versus Gore, case from 2000 that mm-hmm. decided that election on behalf of the Republicans, that 5-4 opinion makes crystal clear that state legislatures have this power to send the electors of their choosing.
Right. Now, the way that the Electoral College, or the reason the Electoral College was originally invented by the founders, was, I think, ostensibly to prevent a Donald Trump from being elected president, right? It was to keep the unwashed masses from putting an ignoramus in office, wasn't it?
I think that's exactly right. And in many ways, it was also, you could also see perhaps if an electoral college functioned in the best way that it might be intended, that in a moment like this, it could perhaps elevate a genuine national leader. But that would require us to believe that the folks who have gerrymandered themselves in control of all of these legislatures, even though they consistently win fewer votes in all of these states, have any interest in elevating a genuine national leader. And I think the last decade has pretty convincingly shown otherwise.
Right. So David Daley is with us. He's here actually to talk about his new book, Unrigged, How Americans Are Battling Back to Save Democracy. We'll reconvene in a couple of weeks and actually talk about the book when I've had a chance to read it. I do want to ask you to give us some information, to tell us a little bit about the book. So, maybe we can have a little book club thing and we can read it together. But before we get there, while we're on this subject, what can we do now? I mean, the districts will be drawn based on the census, which we've now learned is delayed at least for 2 weeks. I have a feeling it may be delayed further, because I can't imagine census workers are going to be going house to house. Yeah. Now, we got the letter on Thursday, the day it began. They went to, they were delivered to households all over the country. I immediately followed the instructions, went online, did it. It took all of 5 minutes. Our household is counted. It's that simple, but people don't follow the instructions and do it that fast. And so we need the census in order to draw the districts, which we hope will be drawn more fairly than were drawn 10 years ago, so that there's more Democratic representation in the way districts are drawn, so that the Republicans don't have so much control for the next 10 years. But that's all up in the air now, isn't it, David Daley?
It is. You know, I mean, this is a perfect storm of awful in some ways, because 2020 is all important for election, for redistricting. The state legislatures that are elected in 2020 will have power over these maps and the ability to draw the lines that define the state of play in those states and in Congress for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
They'll elect a president until 2024, but these maps will be there until 2031.
Yes.
So it's crucial. And, you know, Democrats have been doing a pretty good job, I think, of kind of chipping away at the Republican advantages in a lot of these states. They're closer than they've been in a long time in Texas, closer in Arizona, closer in Pennsylvania, closer in Florida, you know, closer in Michigan. And this is going to be a challenge because right now is the season in which, you know, a down ballot, the candidates are supposed to be getting their petitions signed. They're supposed to be going door to door and getting their names to get on the ballot. Progressive candidates, I think, in general, rely more on sort of door knocking and, you know, meeting people and getting out and canvassing. If you're a first time candidate trying to unseat an incumbent in one of these places, mm-hmm. you're going to do it by trying to knock on as many doors as you can.
Yeah.
If you can't do that in this year, it's going to give a big advantage, I think, to the incumbents who are in office in a year in which, if Democrats can't make significant gains and take a couple of these chambers, Republicans are going to have this power to draw the lines once again in many of these states.
Wow. And people even online.
I'm trying to come on.
No.
With an optimistic book, and I feel like this, the black cloud of doom has followed me this afternoon.
But it's important. All this stuff is so important. Look in the YouTube chat room.
Yeah.
People, first of all, they don't realize they can fill out the census stuff online. If you got the letter, follow the instructions, go online. It will take you a whopping 5 minutes. I promise you.
Super easy.
Super easy and so important. This will determine how those district lines are drawn going forward. If we want fair representation, if we want to do away with these Republican gerrymandered districts, this is imperative. And it's convincing people that they need to do it because they've drunken the Kool-Aid. They've heard it so often from the crazy right-wingers. Oh, no, the government wants too much information from me. It's about us being counted so we're represented. So we have congressional...
59 million Americans live in a state in which one or both chambers of the state legislature is controlled by the party that won fewer votes in 2018 statewide. 59 million of us, that is one in five. All of those states, by the way, give more votes to Democratic candidates, and Republicans have all of the control. So when people like to talk about both sides, it's 59 million to nothing.
That's right.
So... You know, both sides, sure. But those are the stakes, and that's what we need to erase.
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. All right, David Daley, the book is Unrigged, How Americans Are Battling Back to Save Democracy. I know you tell the story of a handful of young activists who are doing the work to turn things around, to bring on the political revolution that Bernie talks about, to change things for the better. So in a nutshell, tell us about the book. What are we going to learn about when we read Unrigged?
You're going to learn about... I went across the country and embedded with all of these democracy groups as they were fighting to make this change. And you're going to meet people who will make you cheer on behalf of this democracy and this fight. I rode across Idaho with these young people who were fighting to expand Medicaid in a red state where Republicans for 6 years in a row refused to take the Obamacare money. And they bought an RV and they painted it green and they went out across the state and they collected their signatures and then they won with more than 60% of the vote. It was unbelievable. The power brokers did everything that they could to stop them and they beat them, these young organized people, every step of the way. In Michigan, you got a young millennial named Katie Fahey who on November 10th, 2016 posts a Facebook message, says, I want to do something about gerrymandering in Michigan. If you want to do this too, join me. And she adds a smiley face. Tens of thousands of people joined her. They collected 430,000 signatures. They raised $14 million. And in November of 2018, they won an independent commission there. Republicans in Michigan drew such effective lines back in 2011 that they have controlled the legislature all decade, even though Democrats have gotten more votes every single year. So they have brought democracy back to Michigan. I rode across Utah and Arizona with these Native American activists who were fighting to keep to beat gerrymandering and voter suppression there. Was down in Florida with Desmond Meade and Neil Vols and the amazing moral movement that won back voting rights for 1.4 million former felons in Florida. There's a lot of amazing things happening across the country. If you need optimism, if you need a cause, I think you'll find it in this book. And you've got a lot of time on your hands these days, so go order it.
That's it. So I see a couple of people in the chat room already talking about it. Do you know if it's on Audible yet?
Yeah, I imagine it is. The official publication date was yesterday, so it's certainly up on Amazon.
There you go.
In all of your independent bookstores.
If they're still open.
If they're still open, but you know, most of them will deliver to you or ship to you. A lot of them, you know, bookshop.com, I believe, is where a lot of the independents are. Also on IndieBound. So if you are homebound and you're looking for an optimistic read, I hope you will check out Unrigged.
I absolutely. And I make this pledge to you. This is the next book on my list to read. So I will begin reading it tonight. And in the next couple of weeks, we will have you back on. Hopefully a few of the listeners will have read it as well. We'll do a little book club thing again because we're all going to be kind of shut in. Let's do it. We'll have you back on to talk about it. We'll share some of the stories of some of the people that you wrote about because we need some positivity here. And in a couple of weeks, I have a feeling we're going to need a whole lot more. So
you're right. So thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
For me too. What part of Massachusetts do you live in?
The western part of the state, out by Northampton.
Ah, okay. Oh, you got some good radio out there too, don't you?
We sure do.
Yeah. All right. I lived in Salem, New Hampshire for about for a couple of years back in 2004. So yeah, did radio there as well. Anyway, David Daley, again, the book is Unrigged, How Americans Are Battling Back to Save Democracy, and something we really need to do right now because we're teetering on the edge. Thank you, Dave. We will talk again sometime very soon. Stay safe.
Look forward. Stay safe, everybody.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right. He's fascinating, right? And the book, I got to tell you, Rat Fucked was a brilliant book as well. So David Daley, a great writer. That's the other thing. He writes about important stuff, but he also writes in a manner that's entertaining. And, you know, it is the narrative. It reads sort of like fiction. So it's fun to read. Let me know if you read it and we'll include you in the show when we have Dave back on. And we'll do a group thing. All right. I noticed somebody in the chat room who got here late and said he was sorry that he didn't, get here early enough to hear the whole interview with Dave Daley and said he doesn't have a premium subscription. Let me reiterate one thing for you. If you're new to the program, this show is not behind a paywall. Yes, I'm 100% listener supported, which means I don't get a salary from anyone. This is my job. The money I earn, how I earn a living, comes from the donations that I get from you guys. The model is sort of like National Public Radio. It's free. You can tune in anytime. You can access my past podcasts, and the library goes back about 15 years. If you go to NicoleSandler.com, you can access as far back as I go, and I go way back, I promise you. 15 years and then some. But, there are many people who give one-time donations. There are many people who do monthly subscriptions. Whether you do or not, you can still listen to the show. I'm in such a financial situation that I can't afford to pay for a podcast. So I don't want to charge anyone else. So you don't have to have a subscription to listen. Listen away. Please do. I've got all this time in your hand. Go and explore the website. There's so much stuff there. There's music interviews. There's tons of stuff on the website. Explore. If you like what you see and can afford it, please donate. I've lost a few donations over the last couple of weeks, and I expect more to go. So if you can afford it, please help out. All right. We'll be back tomorrow. It's Thursday. Howie Klein will be here. So I'll see you then. Thanks for listening, everyone. Stay safe. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face.